Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be looking today at verses 5 through 7. 1 Christian's demeanor in the local church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. We open it with reverence to acknowledge that these are words that came from your heart and mind. These are your words. Give us the respect we should have for them this day, that as we consider what you have said, we may understand how you mean for us to live by them. Guide us in this study by your Holy Spirit, and I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do all Christians always get along all of the time? Unfortunately, not. Not even Paul and Barnabas got along all of the time. You remember in Acts chapter 15, when they had such a contention that was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. But the question is, does God want us to get along with one another? And has he given us any instruction on how that can happen? The answer is yes and yes. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, he gives us some advice along that line. In verses 1 through 4 of this chapter, he addresses the leadership, primarily the elders of the local church. But in verses 5 through 7, he turns his attention to the general population of the body of Christ. And he gives us some advice on how we are to conduct ourselves with one another. And he says in verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, God led Peter to use the word submit or submission, the concept of submission, to explain the Christian's demeanor in the body of Christ. So we want to understand this word submit. It has two different applications. Originally, it was entirely a military term. And I'm going to describe that to you for a little bit. But then it became a civilian term. And it's interesting how it was translated from military conduct to civilian behavior. But to set that up, let me explain to you the use of it originally in the Greek culture in a military concept. The word submit referred to the arranging of troops in a military fashion under the command of a leader, in which the rank and file soldiers were to follow the orders of their superior officers. Now, following orders in military is pretty important, isn't it? Yeah. An essay written about the importance of following orders in the military goes like this: "When a soldier doesn't follow the orders they were given, it doesn't only affect them, it affects everyone in the team and the goals they have set for the mission. When soldiers don't follow the orders, the objectives are hurt and the chances of winning the war. Orders in the military is what makes the army so organized and effective in tough situations. Following orders ensures everyone is on the same page to get the task done in the most effective way possible. Following orders is not just important in combat, but must also be followed in garrison and during training exercises as well to accomplish daily missions. If you were to disobey an order, that would increase the risk of not being able to complete the mission you were given. Now, probably the most profound example of following orders is in the life of a man named Hiro Onoda, a second lieutenant, intelligence officer in the Imperial Japanese Army in World War II. He was assigned a secret mission by his commanding officer and sent to the remote Philippine island of Lubang. It was 1944, the height of World War II. Onoda did not emerge from the jungle until 1974, 30 years later. Here were his orders. You are absolutely forbidden to die by your own hand. It may take 3 years, it may take five, but whatever happens, we'll come back for you. Until then, so long as you have one soldier, you are to continue to lead him. You may have to live on coconuts. If that's the case, live on coconuts. Under no circumstances are you to give up your life voluntarily. He was told to carry out his duties until his commanding officer returned. Others in his command had surrendered to U.S. and Filipino forces or died, but Onoda remained steadfast, living off the land and evading capture for nearly three decades, keeping his uniform repaired and his rifle polished every day. Struggle to the end was his motto. Now that's following orders to the extreme, isn't it? That's really following orders. The word submit was a Greek term used in Greek military conduct. But then at some point in Greek culture, people began using this word in a civilian context. And the Greek dictionary defines that civilian context to the word in this way. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, of cooperating, of assuming responsibility, and of carrying a burden. It's interesting to me how you take this concept of following orders to the nth degree in a military context and translating that into a voluntary attitude in a civilian context. What is this voluntary attitude? With emphasis on the word voluntary. You know, in the military, obeying orders is not voluntary. You have to do it. But this is totally voluntary. And this is the attitude. In submission, I should choose to give into the choices and interests of others. In submission, I should choose to cooperate with others in the tasks that they have chosen for themselves. In submission, I should choose to assume responsibilities that may have been assigned or acquired by others so that I can be helpful to them. In submission, I should choose to carry the burdens of others so that I may see or ease the stress and pressure that those burdens impose upon them. We get the key to understanding the voluntary aspect of this in the form of the verb here in verse 5, where it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Submit and be subject are reflexive verbs, which means it's something you do yourself. It's not something that is imposed upon you or commanded of you, but you yourself submit. You yourself be subject to. It is a voluntary activity. Thus, we might say that submitting is an exercise in showing respect to and respect for others. Why would I choose to give in to the choices and interests of others? Why would I choose to cooperate with others in the tasks that they've chosen for themselves? Why would I choose to assume responsibilities that they may have been assigned or taken on themselves to be helpful to them? Why would I choose to carry the burdens of others and ease the stress and pressure that those burdens impose upon them? It is because I see in them value as a person. I recognize their worth. And especially with other believers, I recognize their worth as those for whom Jesus Christ paid a price. In fact, he paid exactly the same price for each and every one of us. So I show them respect by giving into their interests, cooperating with them in their tasks, assuming their responsibilities, and carrying their burdens. In light of this, in this passage of Scripture, we see a connection between submission and humility. Notice, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So what is humility? Would you go over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Pride is when someone thinks himself to be better than others. Humility is a mental attitude in which I recognize I am no better than anyone else. Remember, I said just a moment ago that Jesus Christ paid exactly the same price for each and every one of us? That's a significant point to understand all the time. He didn't pay more for me than he paid for you. He paid exactly the same price for each and every one of us, which means each and every one of us have exactly the same value in his eyes. And even here it says, think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He distributes equally the measure of faith to each of us. In fact, humility is a godly characteristic. We read from Psalm 113 earlier this morning. If you would look there once again, Psalm 113, and go to verse 4, where it says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Is anyone higher than God? No. But he chooses to use an interesting word to describe his consideration of those who cannot help themselves. It says, "Who," verse 6, "who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth." In fact, he does this in verse 7 so that he might raise up the poor out of the dust. God will go down to the poorest of the poor of this world to help them. God, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, resists the proud because God himself is not proud. He opposes those who are proud. He opposes those who think so highly of themselves that they would never think of helping others, but rather would expect others to always be helping them. No, God is not like that at all. I think sometimes people get the erroneous idea that God is pompous, that he sits on this throne in heaven and just demands that everybody just bow down to him because he's so high. It's not really like that. God really has a humble heart. After all, what did Jesus do? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was as high as you could possibly be. But what did he do? Verse 7, "He made himself of no reputation." He didn't think about who he was. "He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of even the death of the cross." Not for himself, for us. Humility is a disregard of our own importance in order to value the lives of others by giving in to their interests, by cooperating with them in their tasks, by assuming their responsibilities to be helpful, and by carrying their burdens. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And he applies this in two different relationships. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. He first applies this to the younger in their relationship with the elder. Now, in the beginning of the chapter, he uses the term elder in relationship to the office of leadership in the church. But in this verse, it's not talking about those who are the elders in the office. It's talking about those who are older than you. The younger are to submit themselves unto the elder, that is, those who are older than you. In other words, if the standard is that submission means you give in to their interests, you cooperate with them in their tasks, you help them with their responsibilities, and you carry their burdens, then the young people are to do these things for folks who are older than them. How do you do that? Well, let me ask you this question. How do you treat your father and your mother? You remember Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 in the Ten Commandments. It's repeated. It's a place a little closer to us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's how you are supposed to treat your father and mother. You are to honor them. What does it mean to honor them? That is, you recognize their value. You recognize their importance to you. You recognize their importance to your personal development. You recognize their importance to your learning about life. You recognize their importance to your personal growth and your spiritual growth. And as a result, you pay attention when they speak to you. You obey them without resistance. And you behave respectfully toward them. Let me ask you, young people, and anyone who has a father and mother who is still living, this can apply to them. I'm not necessarily just talking to the children. Do you say, yes, sir, to your father? Do you say, yes, ma'am, to your mother? Do you say, please and thank you? There was a time when these were such common courtesies that it was just a given. This is the way you treat it, folks that are older than you. And let me say, if you don't show common courtesy to your parents, it's likely that you will not show common courtesy to other adults who are old enough to be your parents. And I think that's essentially the idea in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. The younger, respecting the elder, those who are old enough to be your parents or grandparents. If you practice common courtesy with your own parents and grandparents, it will be much easier for you to do that with any other adult that is older than you. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, in the context of conduct within the local church, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder. And once again, in this particular verse of Scripture, it's not talking about the office of elder, but it's talking about someone who is older than you are. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Yes, within the context of the local church and the body of believers, anyone who is old enough to be your mother and your father should be treated in exactly the same way with the same common courtesy that you treat your own mother and father. Instead of calling them by their first name, I'm showing how old-fashioned I am. You should address people who are old enough to be your mother and father as Mr., Miss., or Mrs. Now, I understand we get to a certain age where the age difference those of us that are in the senior citizen generation, we kind of become equal senior citizens. I understand that. But, you know, we've really lost something. There's so many churches where they call Pastor so-and-so and use his first name. I'm just old-fashioned enough to think that that is not common courtesy. It's not because I'm anything special. It's not me and those of you that call me by my first name in a private conversation. That's not the same thing. But in the context of the conduct of the local church and our activities, it is common courtesy to call me Pastor Moss. In the same respect, children should refer to the adults as Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. It's just common courtesy. To honor them, to submit yourselves to them. Open doors for them. Help them carry things. Listen carefully when they speak to you. Say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and please, and thank you. and extend physical gestures to those who are older than you that demonstrate your respect for them. Look back at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. It says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. The hoary head, remember, is the gray hair. It's a physical gesture that demonstrates respect for those who are older than you. I'm not suggesting you should stand up when one of us gray-haired fellas walks into the room, necessarily, but some mannerism to demonstrate that you respect us. There was a time when it was understood that adults eat first and children ate after. I remember going to my aunt and uncle's farm as a child, and they had several children, and there were three of us children, and if one of another family showed up, there would be a lot of people there, and the adults sat around the big, huge kitchen table. She had a big wood cook stove she cooked on. They didn't have running water in the house. It was a very interesting old farm, but this huge table, that dining room table, and the adults all sat around and ate. And when they were finished, then us children got to sit at the table and eat. Things have been turned upside down so that in our society, in our culture today, children are given first preference in almost everything. But that doesn't fit with what the scripture says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Granted, it's a voluntary act, but it demonstrates an attitude of your heart. Will you respect those who are older than you? And one more, Job 32 and verse 4. I have to point this one out to you. Job 32 and verse 4. You remember Job and his troubles and his three friends who at first sat around for the longest time and didn't say anything. And then when they got to talking, they had all kinds of advice for Job, and most of it was not worth anything. But there was a younger fella standing there listening to all of this, and his name was Elihu. And he had some things to say too, and he felt that they were pretty important, but he waited. Notice Job 32, verse 4. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Isn't that interesting? Okay, so the younger are to submit themselves to the elder. The other context in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now that's interesting. All of us are to humbly respect the value of each other. After all, in the body of Christ, there are no classifications of people that make distinctions between us. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have all been purchased by Christ with exactly the same price. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. What was that price? It was the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We're close by there. Turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. How many of you that are saved in this room were purchased with the precious blood of Christ? Each and every one of us. There's no difference. Christ put the exact same value upon each and every one of us in the body of Christ. There is no distinction of classes or difference in people as far as the value of each one of us in the body of Christ. None of us should think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, that in the body of Christ, any one of us is better or more important than anyone else. We are all equal. And so, go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In other words, instead of insisting on me first, every single one of us should be insisting on you first. Imagine an argument between two Christians, in which one says, you go first. And the other one says, no, you go first. And there was, no, you go first. Always seeking to be helpful to others and put them before yourself. And once again, to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 this time, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lowliness of mind means to have a humble opinion of oneself. To esteem means this is not how you feel about someone, but what you think about someone. And what you think about others is that they're better than yourself. And if we each are thinking each other is better than themselves, we will each be seeking to be as helpful to others as we possibly can. The truth is, we are all equal, and there are no distinctions between us in the eyes of God. But in order to love one another in the body of Christ with the same love that God has for us, each one of us should think of every other Christian as being more important than we are. If I think you are more important than I am, and you think I am more important than you are, we will both receive equal treatment from each other. In this chapter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you. Humility is a mental attitude. This mind, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Jesus did not make who he is the issue. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Rather than serving himself, he served others. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Rather than bringing attention to himself, Jesus focused on the interests and needs of others. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He delivered the oppressed. He helped them in accomplishing their tasks, doing for others what they could not do for themselves, telling fishermen where to cast their nets. He assumed their responsibilities to be helpful to them. When Peter was approached by a tax collector, he told Peter where to find a coin in the mouth of a fish, and he carried their burdens all the way to the cross, becoming obedient to the death of the cross. Look at the person to your left or to your right. Look at the person behind you. Person in front of you. Look around at all of your fellow Christians. Everyone, Jesus paid exactly the same price for. Same price for everyone. No more for you than he did for all the others. So I ask you, will you pledge yourself to be like Jesus? Will you focus on the interests and needs of others? Will you help them accomplish their tasks, doing for others what they might not be able to do for themselves or find difficult to do for themselves? Will you help them in their responsibilities? Will you carry their burdens? Will you be subject one to another? And be clothed with humility, and humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Will you care for others the same way God cares for us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you care for us. For your divine humility, for the humility of Jesus Christ in coming down and taking so much of our burden, all of our burden upon himself. Teach us a lesson in what submission is really all about. Not something we do because others demanded of us. It's not the same as the military use of the word. Something we have to choose to do. It's a voluntary thing. But it's an exercise in humility. And it's something that you have outlined for us in a relationship with one another. Help us to learn how to submit to one another and be clothed with humility, that we may reflect in this local body of Christ your care for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.